Well, hello, and welcome back to the Wash and Word verse-by-verse Bible teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and I bring you these messages each day at 8:30 right here on WMCH. And if you miss this message or you want to catch any of the messages that are going to be going forth this week on this radio station, you can swing by the Wash and Word. It's a hand car washing business that my wife and I, Victoria, we own and operate it. It's located in the Palace Shopping Center in Churchill. And there you can get your car washed and you can get it cleaned up on the inside. And we do it all for the glory of God. And for money. The money part is what we use to support our family and to support this ministry. But we, like Paul, want to work to earn our living. We don't want to peddle the word of God. We want to give it freely. And we believe that verse-by-verse Bible teaching is the best way to prepare the congregation and the flock and the people of God, not only for what we're dealing with in today's society, but for what is to come. Now, as a verse-by-verse ministry, we're going to pick up where we left off. We're still talking about the miracle of changing water to wine. It was Jesus's first public ministry action, even though it wasn't considered a public ministry miracle. And what I mean by that is it was specifically, he did it to solidify the disciples, and that is that they might have had some doubt going in, and so he did it for the sake of the disciples, in essence. Let's go ahead and look at we're gonna read verses 5 through 11 again, and actually we read those last time, so you can go ahead and check out yesterday's message. But let's pick it up in verse 8. It says, he told them, Jesus speaking to the servants, he said, now draw out some water and take it to the master of the banquet. So they did, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then he called the bridegroom aside, and he said, everyone who brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best for till now. This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Now, as discussed briefly in the last message, Jesus was not yet ready to go public at this time with his ministry, at least not in a grand public sense. But he did this miracle of changing water to wine to solidify his disciples, to let them know who he truly was. Now remember, these guys were either following John the Baptist for a while and then kind of got ushered over to Jesus, or they were simply pulled from what they were doing to join him. There was no large seminar, there was no long explanation as to why they should leave their families and their vocation to follow Jesus. Remember, these were short follow me type statements. And as surely as they were convinced about who Jesus was, well, we all know how the devil can plant thoughts of doubt into our minds, especially when we take a stand to follow Jesus. You see it happen all the time. You've probably experienced it. You know, most of the, as a pastor for 5 years, we had quite a few salvations of people walking down the aisle at the end during the invitation, and tears would follow, and they would accept Christ, and you know, they may come back a week or 2 weeks, and then a lot of these people just kind of disappeared. Now, you know, discipleship is important in reaching out and trying to disciple these new believers. Of course, we always try to do that, but what happened to these people? Well, it's the same thing that happened to the 9 lepers who were healed and didn't come back to follow Jesus. The devil puts thoughts of doubt. You know, did you really get saved? Is this really something that's happening? You know, are you really going to be able to quit this or quit that? And, you know, he's a clever enemy. And, you know, one of my callings that I feel is not only to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, but also to expose the enemy's tactics. And When we decide to follow Jesus, or maybe you've been a Christian your whole life or a long time, 30 years or whatever, and but maybe you decide this is the day I'm gonna step out and I'm gonna really make a stand. I'm gonna start reading my Bible more. I'm gonna start praying more. I'm gonna start, serving God more. Whatever it is you decide for Christ, and the Spirit has touched you to do it. The same thing happens every time. You may be gung-ho for a little while, but the devil is always going to come back and start planting those thoughts anytime we decide to follow Jesus. And I think you know what I mean. We take that stand of sin against some sin that's in our lives, or we start reading our Bibles and praying more, and the devil is always present there to accuse us. So these guys, these disciples, even though they believed, Jesus knew that they needed a little reassuring, we'll call it. And this leads us to our first point today. And that is this: if you cannot exhibit blind faith, then you bind faith. I'll say it again. If you cannot exhibit blind faith, then you bind faith. Simply put, blind faith is necessary in this walk with Jesus. And if you cannot exhibit blind faith, not all the time, it's not always going to be like that, but there are times where you have to put forth blind faith in what God is telling you to do. And if you can't exhibit blind faith, then you bind faith. You're holding faith that could be growing in your life back. You're binding it. And I know some of you out there really struggle with this stepping out on faith with little or no reassurance. It's a hard thing to do. I get that. For some of you, unless it is laid out and clearly God's will for you and your life, you will not move forward. And while this is not necessarily a bad thing, because surely we don't want to move in a direction that's not the will of God, and we don't want to do something that that God hasn't already preordained for us to do. And so waiting on God to confirm something before we move out, certainly that's something we need to do. But there are times, and you know what I'm talking about, where you just don't have the time to wait for a response or a confirmation. You don't have the patience. Well, none of us have the patience, but sometimes we have to make a decision quick, or sometimes we just have to step out on blind faith. It's just the way this walk goes sometimes. And so, not to brag, because believe me, talk to my wife, there's plenty that I am weak at, but probably, and to a fault, stepping out on blind faith is not one of my problems. And by what I mean by to a fault is I've stepped out on blind faith many times in my life, only to find out that, well, maybe I should have waited just a little longer with God, I waited on God. For instance, this car wash that we run. I mean, this is it's a business ministry. We exist to deliver the word of God. This is an opportunity for me to present the word of God. These messages go forth in the parking lot all day long while we're open on 107.1 FM. You can just come to the parking lot and tune them in, and they go forth. So, every day I play these messages on a loop in the parking lot here at the Wash and Word, and it's an opportunity for me to get the word out there. So, I know that by stepping out on blind faith to start this, my wife and I both quit good jobs with good benefits to start this thing. And it was 9 out of 10 people that we've told it to told us we're crazy. And maybe we are a little bit. But you know what? You can't go wrong when you decide that you're going to live your life and devote your time for the sake of the gospel. And that's what we're doing here. And so, stepping out on faith, blind faith, well, it's a risk to be sure. But anyway, here we are. We're doing that here. And I encourage you, if there's something in your life today that, you kind of feel God's moving, you're not sure, don't be afraid to step out on blind faith. Because if you can't do that, then you are binding faith. Because as we step out on blind faith and God begins to bless us, our faith increases. And it's not bound, it's actually loosed. Blind faith is always a test that God gives us, and if we pass this test, He will reward it. And knowing whether or not it is your idea or your thought or your will versus it's God's will or God's thought or God's idea, before stepping out into that blind faith, well, that right there is the challenge, and I get that. unless we do what we have discussed in length already so far in the Gospel of John, and that is that you are continually seeking holiness and that you are seeking righteousness and that you are on the road towards holiness and righteousness, that you are moving in that direction, that you're doing things that lead to holiness, and that you are spending quality time with God in prayer and in Bible study. These are surefire ways that's to prevent stepping out on blind faith from failing. You know, we cannot listen to or hear the Holy Spirit when there are so many other distractions going on in our lives. We have to take time to just get quiet before God and let Him lead us and guide us. Now, getting back to the story and the scriptures that we just read, there are two key phrases in these verses that we have read that verify that Jesus did this for the sake of the disciples and His mother even, perhaps. And one of them came in the latter part of verse 9, where he says, he said he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then he pulled the bridegroom aside. So we see that this miracle was for the bridegroom, the bridegroom's father, and for the servants that lifted up the water. And also, in the latter part of 11, it says his disciples put their faith in him after seeing that. So we see this miracle was really just for a small group of people, not to mention Jesus' words in the beginning of this passage that his time had not yet come. So we looked at the blind faith and how Jesus did it to help with the whispers that the new disciples were certainly hearing. But look also at the wedding banquet's master. You know, he pulled the groom aside. And so even the result of this miracle, it stayed within a small circle. Now, what's important here is the wine itself. That's what I want to end today talking about, at least for the application of this as we wind down. Usually the good wine would come first, and then after they are loosened up and have had some drink, they bring out the old cheap stuff. But not so here. And why is this important? Well, it is the weapon of the enemy. Let me explain. In our lives, the devil tempts us with what appears to be choice things. You know, many times the devil will entice us with lies. He'll paint a picture of pleasure in our minds. You know, if we would only pursue that sin, or if we only pursue that pleasure. But the reality is that, well, the reality is never like the temptation vision. You know what I'm... You know, it's never... The devil is never going to give you the truth in the beginning. For instance, if you watch a lot of porn, your idea of what sex is supposed to be like is never going to match up. And when you finally get married, or you're married now, it's never going to match up to that lie that you've been watching. Or if you turn to drugs to escape reality, it only worsens your reality. And when the devil tells you that you need to buy that thing and, you know, use your credit card, the payback is always worse than you imagined that it would be. And so the devil entices with the good wine, if you will, and then he brings out the dregs. He entices with a pleasure, but then come the penalties. But see, Jesus never does this. Jesus always gives us the best right out of the gate, like he did here. In Christ, you never have to worry about if you're getting the short straw. Or as Jesus puts it in Matthew 7:11, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask them? And so Jesus brings out the good wine first. And that's how it is with Christ. He brings out the good stuff. And you never go wrong trusting him. You never go wrong stepping out on blind faith if you're already traveling in the right road and the right direction of holiness and righteousness. He brings out the good stuff right from the start. The good wine. He doesn't wait. And that is what our Heavenly Father does. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today. Next sermon that we teach, verse-by-verse Bible teaching, we're going to pick it up and begin in chapter 2 in verse 12. We're going to look at the Jesus clearing the temple. So come again back tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you at the Wash and Word. And you can go to our website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, at word.com. There you can find out all the information about this ministry and our business. Till then, have a blessed day.